We are continuing our study of the book of Ezra, but as we have read in the passage today, what we see happening was as they stop and as they cease in the work of the house of the Lord, Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the prophet are called upon at this point to address the people, to preach to them in their particular time of need. And it was because of their preaching that they then resumed the work of the house of God some 16 years later. So over the next few Lord's Day, God willing, we will have a look at the book of Haggai. Just Haggai, not yet for Zechariah. Zechariah is much a longer book. And the contents of the book of Zechariah were more far-reaching. Yes, there was a portion that dwelt with their present circumstances, but much of the prophecy then went on to speak of both the first and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, God willing, over the next few Lord's days, as I'll be preaching, we will have a look at the book of Haggai and to see what was the message that God had for the people at that point of time as they ceased the work of the house of the Lord. And it seemed that Satan had the victory, at least for that present time. And that will also then be perhaps quite applicable for us, even as we consider the prospect of how our involvement or how our opportunities to worship and to serve the Lord seem to be curtailed at this present time. Is there a message from the Lord for us? So for the title of this morning's message, I have entitled it, What Time Is It? What Time Is It? Because if you look at the book of Haggai, now that would be the question that the Lord has for the people at the point of time. Is it time for you? Is it time for you to dwell in sealed houses while the house of God lieth in waste? It was a very good question that the Lord had to ask them, to confront them about. Because their refrain, the things that they were saying is that, oh, it is not time. Time is not the time that the house, the Lord's house, should be built. It was a time where they turned away from the Lord. Sadly so. You see, in the previous chapters, as we look at the book of Ezra, we saw how they responded to the call of God. They started out very well. When the call came for them to return to Jerusalem, now this 42,000 of them and the 7,000 slaves, so 50,000, slightly less than 50,000 people returned to Jerusalem. And they came together with one accord. They were excited, ready to serve the Lord. And as they gathered at Jerusalem, they kept the feast days. They were doing all things in accordance to the word of God. They were faithful, at least at the very beginning. And then at the end of chapter 3, we saw how the foundation was laid. And as they laid the foundation, they came together for a time of rejoicing and singing. But there were those who looked upon the foundations that they laid and they lamented and cried. Because they knew that, at least physically speaking, the splendor of this present temple will never be compared to what it was during Solomon's time. Nonetheless, their desire was all the same. They cared and they had a great concern for the work of the house of the Lord. But then as we come to chapter 4, we see how opposition started to come in. The adversaries of Judah and Jerusalem, the enemies of God, they started to come and to trouble the work of their hands, to frustrate their purpose, to weaken their hands, to make sure that they would find the work so difficult, so discouraging, that they would just leave off and give up. The present circumstances that we are facing are difficult as well. But that does not mean that we have to give in and capitulate, and to say that, all right, Satan, you have the upper hand, you win, and we lose. And then we just step away from the work of the house of the Lord. No, that must not be. But for them at that point of time, sadly so, they did give in. They gave up. And that's what we see at the last verse of Ezra chapter 4. A very, very sad verse to read. A tragic verse, you may say. Because because of all the opposition they faced, because the adversaries of Judah and Jerusalem came against them, the result was that then ceased the work of the house of the God which is at Jerusalem. The very purpose for which they returned could now no longer be fulfilled. They were now not able to build the temple which just weeks ago, months ago, they were so excited to start the building of. We don't know for how long they had started the work, how much progress they had, but we are told then that then they ceased, and they ceased for 16 long years. And that is the time from the start of the reign of Cyrus, from the time in which they started building, until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia, and that would be about 520 BC. They started work at about 536 BC, and so for 16 years, the Bible says, the house of the Lord lieth in waste. That is the description that Haggai had for them there. They started a work, but they did not have the perseverance. They did not have the endurance to carry on. A little bit of hardship, a little bit of difficulties, and they were soon distracted from their purpose, and they left off the work, and they just left it there. How many times have we done that? Started a good work, been enthusiastic, been excited to do something for the Lord. Maybe you were inspired by a certain message, or maybe during a church camp or a church retreat. And so you were so inflamed with passion from perhaps some thought that was given during the message, or maybe through a verse or passage that you read, and you were challenged to do something for the Lord. And you said, yes, yes, I will, I will. And at the beginning, yes, we really did so. Maybe we started to give out tracts in earnest. Maybe we started to share the gospel with our friends or our colleagues. Maybe we started to be involved in a particular ministry. Or maybe we pledged and say, yes, I will be regular in my attendance at a Bible study or a prayer meeting. But after a while, we started to slack off. At the beginning, we said, yes, now is the time. Now is the time for me to serve the Lord. Now is the time for me to be involved in this or that area. But then after a while, our tune changed. It is not, now is the time. It's more now I don't have the time. I no longer have that focus, that discipline, that motivation, that desire. And in so doing, when we allow that to happen, then ceases the work of the house of the Lord in your life. Because as we remember, we discussed a number of Lord's days ago, where is the house of God today? It is no longer a physical building. It is about the lives of God's people. We are that lively stones built up unto a spiritual house. The church is the house of God. And all of us are called upon to be involved in the work of the house of the Lord. But will we allow affliction, difficulties, problems to be that hindrance whereby we are no longer involved in the work of the house of the Lord? And how sad that is. When our tune changes from the time is now till, oh, there is no more time. There is no more opportunity to do so. Now is not the time. Now is not the time. You know, when we moved over from Sydney, to Sydney from Singapore, I pretty much moved my collection of books, and over the years I have amassed quite a collection of books, you know, of commentaries, of, you know, Christian living, church history, and theologies and things like that. And so we set up a number of bookshelves, and you know, it sort of spans a whole wall in the parsonage now. And when my brother's family, my sister-in-law, was here a couple of weeks ago, we were in the process of shelving all the books, and she helped as well. And so, you know, after we were done, she looked across the shelves, and I reckon there are maybe close to 1,000 books. I have not ever done a count, but just a rough estimate. And so she asked, "Have you really read all these books?" I looked across, and you know, while I am familiar with the books, I was quite ashamed to say that far from it. Far from it. I'm in a habit of buying books. I like, you know, I go to a bookshop, or maybe I look online and I say, oh, this looks like it could be interesting. Oh, this could be helpful. Oh yeah, this is something that I think I want to read. And so I buy them. Maybe I read the introduction. Most of the time, I always read at least the introduction. Maybe I start reading chapter 1, chapter 2. And then something else captures my attention. Or, well, I just don't have that desire or motivation to carry on. And it just gets shelved. And so many of the books in there, you may find a little piece of scrap paper or a bookmark. And it will be somewhere quite much at the beginning of the book. And it's a bad habit I have, that I have started many things, but I've never seen it through. I've never completed it. At the beginning, yes, now is the time. I like to read this book. I think it'll be very helpful to me, to my family. I think it's useful. I get it. I start it, but I don't complete it. And it's happened many, many times. And so as I look across, how many have I actually finished reading from cover to cover? 10%, 20%, who knows? Well, of course, granted, many are commentaries and theologies. It's not something you really sit down to read. But many of the other books, well, I've started, but not completed. And that was what was happening to them. They started the work of the house of the Lord, and they were so excited to begin. But then when opposition and difficulty came, now they started to say, well, now is not the time. And that procrastination that they had lasted for 16 long years. And so all they had was the foundation, right? Perhaps they started to put some building blocks in place, maybe the cornerstones, and they had purchased, right, wood. They had brought in wood from Lebanon, and so those raw materials perhaps were just laying at the site there, and then they just left it. They left it. Perhaps in the first few years, it was still to them, you know, sight for sore eyes. It was, you know, it was just like a sore sight to them, where they saw it, they looked at it, and they perhaps were, you know, pricked in their hearts. They felt a little bit of guilt to say, oh, yeah, actually, we should get back to it. But, oh, you know, the opposition is still going on. You know, the people, the Samaritans are still around. Oh, maybe soon, maybe next time. And so it may have begun as an eyesore to them, something that nagged at their conscience, but then after a while, it seemed that their conscience was seared. It seemed that they stopped having such a concern for the work of the house of the Lord, and other things came into their lives and became their priority. And so after a while, they just got used to that half-built site. How I've sort of gotten used to seeing, you know, shelves full of books, admiring it, but maybe not really fully benefiting from all the rich treasures that can be found within these books. And so they had gotten used to it, and now they had grown cold in their affection and their desire for the Lord. And that is why the Lord had to send Haggai and Zechariah to wake them up. To wake them up out of their spiritual slumber, to rebuke them and to say, what are you doing? What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your time? Why is it that you can say that now is not the time for the house of the Lord to be built, but yet you are dwelling in sealed houses? Literally, it means houses with ceilings. The house of the Lord lieth in waste, but you are living in your own comforts. You see, that was their problem. It was truly a spiritual issue. It's not just a physical thing. It's not about the building itself. It's not about, you know, whether they have the materials to build or whether they are facing whatever opposition. It was a matter of the heart, and that is what Haggai had to address. To speak to their hearts and to awaken them to say, consider your ways. Think carefully, what time is it? And when we use that phrase, what time is it, right? It can be at a literal level, well, what time is it? You check the watch and you say, okay, now it's almost 11 o'clock. That's one way of answering the question, what time is it? But of course, we can also understand this question in a more figurative sense. You know, what time is it? Well, it is time for us to do this or to do that. Right? And you know, well, maybe I've not been doing well in my school, and so when the question is posed, you know, what, do you know what time it is? Well, it's time to get working. It's time to start studying hard. Well, it's time to buck up. That sort of response to the question, what time is it? Now, that is the sort of question that we want to pose to ourselves as well. As we are facing all these things going on in the world, what time is it? And we don't answer, well, today is, what, the 29th of March, and it is almost 11 a.m. here in Sydney time. No, it is time. Our answer then, it is time to stand up and serve the Lord. It is time for us to shake off our spiritual slumber. It is time for us to get working. That ought to be our response. But sad to say, sometimes, you know, when this question is posed to us, in the sense of, well, what time is it? What should you be doing with your life? Our answer is more often than not, well, you know, it is time for me to get involved or get busy with this or that matter in my own life, and there is no time to serve the Lord. There is no opportunity to serve the Lord. And sadly, that is what the people of Israel, the people of Judah and Jerusalem responded with, and that is why the Lord had to send Haggai to come and rebuke them. And you will see this refrain from Haggai again and again echoing. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. You see that in verse 5. You see that in verse 7. And you see that a number of times throughout this chapter as well. And every time I read the book of Haggai and I come upon this phrase, now I'm reminded of this sermon that I once heard by the Reverend Ian Paisley. If you know Reverend Ian Paisley, he is this old Scottish preacher, a very fiery preacher. And the way that they read scripture, it was a very, very booming, strong voice, you know, straight from the diaphragm. And he preached on this passage before as well, and I heard that sermon recording online. I believe you can find it on Sermon Audio. And you know, the way that he booms out this phrase, I'm not going to try to echo it, to try to recreate it, but you can go and listen to it for yourself. It is a very, very forceful and a very powerful way. You can almost imagine how it was when Haggai would come before the people, gather all the people together, Zerubbabel and Jeshua, and telling them, now this is the word of God, thus saith the Lord. Consider your ways. Think about your life. Ponder, reflect, and really search your hearts. What is it about your life? What are you doing with your time? Now that was the question that was posed to them. That was the rebuke and an admonishment from the Lord. Because they had given in to the wiles of the devil. They had turned away from the Lord. And very clearly, right, they had focused on themselves and the Lord was rebuking them. And the Lord also warned later on, you see further down in this chapter, that the Lord had already started to rebuke them. The Lord had to chastise them by calling for a drought, for a famine. Afflictions were upon them to call upon them to wake up. And sometimes that's what we need. Sometimes that's what we need, that loud voice from God. Shouting at us, as it were. Because sometimes that soft, gentle approach will fall just upon deaf ears. And many times that's how it is for children, isn't it? That's how it was for me when I was growing up, and I faced the same thing with my children as well. You coax them, you tell them, you know, please do this, please do this. You say it once, twice, three times. Just simply no response. They just carry on playing, act as if you're just not there. Until we raise our voice, hey, do this, do that. Then they realize, oh, okay. Yeah, Dad is angry now. Dad is upset and okay, I better get on with what he wants me to do. Sometimes that's how it is for us in our relationship with the Lord as well. Because we simply won't listen. It's not that the Lord has not warned us, not told us. No, it is all throughout Scripture. It is given to us. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He prompts us. He guides us. He urges us. We listen to sermons, messages, Bible studies. We do our quiet time and we see these warnings before us, but sometimes we just simply don't take heed. And so then the word of the Lord has to come to us and say, consider your ways. Think about your life. Think about how we are before the Lord. And sometimes, you know, things, disruptive things in our lives happen for a reason. And sometimes it's good. It's good that we are woken up from our spiritual slumber when everything is not the norm, as it is, I believe, right now for you as well. I'm sure to varying degrees, some much more than others, your life has been disrupted by the ongoing, you know, lockdowns and the ongoing restrictions throughout the country right now. Could it be that this is a warning from the Lord as well? For us also to consider our ways and to ask, what time is it? Because maybe we have begun to lapse as well. Maybe we also have begun to sort of descend into that time of spiritual apathy, where we have allowed this lethargy to take over our lives and we have now become comfortable in our day-to-day mundane routines, and that passion, that the desire for the Lord that perhaps we once had, that has faded away. And it takes, you know, disruptions in our lives, upheavals even, for us to sit up and wake up and ask, well, what time is it? Oh, yes. And then you begin to realize, oh, yes, well, what have I been doing all this while? What have I been doing with my life? Perhaps it takes such a wake-up call to realize, no, how precious the gathering of God's people is to us. How precious it is to come together on a Lord's Day to worship Him. And maybe all this while we have taken it for granted. We have allowed worship and the gathering of God's people to us to become something so mundane, so routine, almost a chore. Ah, Sunday again, all right, I'll come to church and I'll sit there for that few hours and I'll, you know, try to make conversation with people and try to put up that facade, and then I'll go home and get back on with my life. And then now we have missed one Sunday. This is the second Sunday that we have to meet in such a manner. And who knows how long this will take. But perhaps a good thing that can come out of this is that we will miss the gathering of God's people, and we realize what a precious thing it is to be found in the house of the Lord, to worship Him on the Lord's Day. Perhaps we miss what a precious opportunity it is to gather as God's people and to pray for prayer meeting, or to study the Word of God together, or to come for fellowship. And we miss these gatherings. This could perhaps be a wake-up call. Where all this while, our refrain was, oh, it is not time to serve the Lord. We may not say it out loud, but we may think of it in our hearts. Now is not the time, because that was what the people were saying. Verse 2, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, the people say, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the house of the Lord should be built. The Lord's house should be built. You see, that was the cry of their hearts. Now maybe they may not have been saying it out loud, but the Lord knew their hearts. That this is what the people are saying. That with the passing of time, their conscience got seared. And they began to make excuses saying, oh, now is not the time. What time is it? Oh yeah, you know, the people, the Samaritans are still there, you know. Have you heard of the latest letter that they wrote to the king? Oh, it's terrible. It says that, you know, we are here and we are causing all sorts of trouble. You know, best to lay low. Best to sort of just, you know, leave it for a while. And maybe when the times are better, then we will return and build the work of the, and be involved in the house of the Lord. And so they began to convince themselves that there were more important things to be done than working for the Lord. It was spiritual procrastination. They began to prioritize other things over the work of the house of the Lord. And could it be that that is how we are at the moment as well? That is how we have been. that we have begun to prioritize other things and the work of the house of the Lord, service, being involved in all the activities and ministries of the church, oh, they have become a chore, almost mundane, a burden even. And so the piercing question from the Lord is it time? Is it time? Is it really a right excuse to give? Because you keep on saying, now is not the time, now is not the time. It is a phrase that is common in our vocabulary, even right now, isn't it? The time is not come, or how we say it is, now is not the time, now is not the time. Then what time is it for? What is the time for? What is your life for? And we sometimes, we are full of excuses. It's so easy, right, to come up with reasons why we shouldn't serve the Lord, right? Oh, I'm still studying. I'm a student. I'm busy. You know how much my parents paid to put me through university? And I must study. Oh, you know what a big exam it is coming up that I have. And this is the year of my, what is it, HSC, right? And I have to do well in order to get into university. And so, well, now is not the time. I have to study hard. Oh, I just graduated. It's my first job. Things are so busy. I'm just a junior at work. Now is not the time. It is not time. The time is not come that I should serve the Lord. Oh, I better scale back on my involvements. There are so many other important things to do. And sometimes the parents are the ones that I fault at this as well. Oh, now is not the time for you to be involved in all these church activities. Oh, you better work hard. You better study hard. And the parents will arrange all sorts of tuition time slots. So on Saturday, now is not the time to go for kids club. Now is the time to study hard and go for your tuition. Or sometimes, sadly, even on Sundays. And now is not the time for you to come for YPG or, even for worship. Oh, now is the time to work hard. Now is the time for you to have your piano lessons, your whatever other classes, your sporting activities. Sometimes we make all these justifications. Oh, that, it is so important. Or to get a part-time job, now is the time. You see, the economy is poor. You have this opportunity to work. Well, work on the Sunday. It's okay. You come to church in the morning, Sunday afternoon is fine. Go and work. Or sadly, some people even do that at the expense of Lord's Day worship. They say, now is not the time to waste the Sunday, going to church. Jobs are so scarce now. People are being laid off all around. And you have this work. You better not give it up. Now is the time. Work. Now is the time. And there are so many excuses that we can make. I just started my job. Now is the time to work hard, to pull long hours, to work overtime, to make sure I impress my boss and get the promotion. So now is not the time to serve the Lord. Oh, I just got that promotion that I've been working hard for, and now I have more responsibilities, more things on my plate. Now is not the time to serve the Lord. I can't spare the effort. I can't spare the energy and the time because I'm so busy now. Do you know how many people I have under me that I'm responsible for? I am now a manager. And so now is not the time. I'm so busy. Now is not the time. I have young children. The first child has just come. The second child is coming. Oh, the third child is on the way. Now is not the time. Now is not the time. And all through our life, we allow that to be the refrain. Now is not the time. Because there's always going to be an excuse. There's always something that's going to keep us and hold us back. Now is not the time. Do you know how dangerous this coronavirus is? I could catch it at any moment. And so I best do nothing. Now is not the time. And then what time is it then? What time is it? It is a dangerous affliction to be overwhelmed with spiritual apathy, to be disinterested in the things of God and to rationalize in our hearts and in our minds that actually we are still okay. And sometimes it's just a very gradual slide and a slip away. We start to slowly disengage ourselves and to curtail our involvements in this and that areas, gradually, one by one, and we start to slip away. And we still continue to soothe our conscience thinking that I'm a Christian. Yes, you know, I used to serve the Lord so hard. And, you know, now I'm a little bit older. There are all these things. You know, it's better for other people to come in and take my place. And we think, no, I'm still all right. I'm still good. I'm still fine. You know, I know the Word of God well. I can manage my spiritual life. And yeah, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm all right. And you keep on telling yourself that lie that I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm all right. And then your refrain is this: now is not the time. The time is not come to serve the Lord. The time is not come to be so involved in spiritual things. And instead, what do we spend our time on? You see, what they have been doing with their times, verse 3. They were crying and said, oh, the time is not come to build the house of the Lord. Instead, what is their refrain? You see, for them, it says, well, the time is for me to dwell in my sealed houses. Is it time for yourself, for your own comforts? And for them, the time was to build their own houses. Verse 3, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses and this house, referring to the house of God, lie in waste? And again, very direct question. All right, you say now is not the time, right? You say it is not time to build the house, and then look at your own house. Look at your own life. You seem to have time for so many other things and no time for God. Is that right? Is that right? Because when we ask, what time is it? Sometimes we say, well, it's not time for me to serve the Lord. But you seem to have the time for so many other things, so many other interests, so many other activities. For them, it was their own houses, their physical houses. Time for them to make their lives comfortable in this land. Well, yes, it's true. They had to establish their own homes. That was important. The Lord did give them time for that. You'll notice there was a number of months, right, between the time that they first arrived and the times in which they gathered to lay the foundation, right, from the seventh month of their first year of them coming back until the second month of the second year, right? That's when they started to lay the foundation, and so they had some time to return and to establish their homes. And I'm sure that, you know, building the house of the Lord is not, you know, a full-time occupation to the point where they have no time at all to establish their own homes, to plant their crops, and to rear their cattle, to get on with life. But it seemed that they had allowed, you know, their own livelihoods, their own comforts, to become the priority, and it was now all that they were doing, and the house of the Lord was neglected, it lay in waste. And what a contrast it was, isn't it? Where it says that you have now established your own comfortable homes with a roof over your heads. And look at the house of the Lord. It's just a pile of rocks. It's a site that has now perhaps been overgrown with weeds. It's all just rubble. That wood from the cedars of Lebanon that they had imported, perhaps now had become overgrown, maybe started to rot over those past 16 years. Those nicely cut out stones that they had now have been eroded and chipped away. And it is now there, lying in waste. Almost as it were to say that the house of the Lord, God does not even have a ceiling over his head, and you have such comfortable houses. That was the contrast that was being drawn. You spend your time and your effort investing in yourself and your own comforts, and God's house neglected. Is that a reflection of our lives? What time is it? Is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses? Is it time for you to just focus everything upon yourself and having a concern only for the physical, present, the now? You know, now, and I mean now in this present situation that we are all facing, I'm sure many of your activities that you used to spend time on now have been taken away from you. can't go out for a meal anymore. You can't meet and socialize with your friends as perhaps you used to. You can't visit wherever it is that you spend time going to, right? Whether it is to restaurants or to the shops or to the cinemas or to places of entertainment, even places of, you know, leisure or exercise. You can't even stay at home and watch the sports anymore. There are, I mean, so many things that we perhaps spend so much time in. It's all taken away from us. What are you doing with your time? Many of you don't even have to commute to work anymore. Now everybody or many people are working from home. And so you save, right, that hour a day or two of commuting. What are we doing with our time? Now the world will respond in a very natural manner. We are told that internet usage all around the world has spiked. It is said that, you know, all these streaming companies, Netflix and YouTube and all these other companies, you know, they were told by many governments around the world to sort of reduce their bandwidth usage. Why? Because people are just, well, logging on and watching television all through the day. I mean, what else is there to do, right? I can't go out, I can't party with the world, I can't go to the beach, I can't do all these other things. Well, I just sit at home and watch. So, you know, because of that, and because many people are having to use the internet to work from home, you know all these streaming companies are hogging up the bandwidth, and so the ISPs, the internet service providers, have to ask them, they say, no, please throttle the speed of the connection, right? The people don't need to watch in full HD or, you know, ultra high definition. Well, you know, you reduce the streaming bit rates so that, you know, the internet can be freed for so-called more important things. But that's what people do. What else can they do? What else can we do? And that is something that we ought to actively think about. What else can I do? And there are things that we can do. You say, now is not the time, now is not the time. Then is it time for you then to sit at home and do nothing? Is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses? And yes, literally so. We are all confined to our homes. But even then, can we think of things that we can do for the work of the house of the Lord at home, from home? And yes, the answer is yes. Now, we are heartened to see that because of the streaming services that we now offer and provide, well, more people are turning up for prayer meeting. Whereas in the past, when we had to come and travel here, yeah, we maybe get 20 people on a good day, slightly more, 20 plus people to come for prayer meeting. But I think on Friday we had more than 30 people, right, turn up for prayer meeting, and we were able to pray together, and we saw some new faces, first time ever, coming for prayer meeting. We're thankful for that. Well, that's one avenue. Right now that we're at home and, well, there's nothing else to do on a Friday night, well, we tune in, so to speak, for prayer meeting. And then we start to make this a habit, that even after all these bans are lifted, and you realize, hey, what better time is there to use my Friday than to come to church for prayer meeting? And so instead of clicking on the Zoom link and logging on, well, I travel to church. I pray together with God's people. That is the best use of our time. And then hopefully, God willing, in the months and in the weeks to come, as we, you know, start to bring back all our activities, the Sunday Bible study, the YPG, the Adults Fellowship, more of us can avail ourselves to these things and say, well, now that I have the time, why not? Why not? It's just a click away. Instead of sitting there with the remote control, watching other things, well, why don't I tune in and be found in the company and fellowship of God's people, meditating upon God's word? Is it now the time for us to dwell in our sealed houses? And even as we dwell in our sealed houses, what shall we do with the time? Because the danger of us saying, oh, now is not the time to serve the Lord, and the danger of then descending into the cares of the world, it is real. It is so real. What are we doing with our time? Will we waste this golden opportunity that we have, where our lives are, you can say, stripped down to the bare basics, just the necessities? Right? Where all going out time is restricted just to go to school, go to work, get groceries, and nothing else. Everything else is shut. Everything else is closed. What else will we do? And then we begin to realize, actually, there is quite a lot of time in a day. What am I doing with it? What am I doing with our time? Because the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, it is so subtly able to snare our hearts and take us away from that which is most important. And the Bible warns us, this is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 21:34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. And that's the meaning of this is actually like a hangover, right? The pain or the headache that comes from drunkenness. That your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. And so it's really speaking of how you are overwhelmed with the cares of this life, the concerns, so much so that it gives you a headache, the strain and the stresses of your life. And the day come upon you unawares. Before you know, you don't realize what time is it. Well, the time is the return of the Lord, and you are not ready. We are caught unawares. We don't want that to happen. And so we ask ourselves, what time is it? What will our response be? Will we be like the people of Judah and Jerusalem then and say, oh, it is not time to serve the Lord. Oh, it is time for me to dwell in my own comforts and pursue my leisure activities and to pursue my fun and my enjoyment and to seek after the cares of this world. That ought not to be, because the Bible warns us that that way of thinking, it is time wasted. And that is the warning in verse 6. He says, you say that it is not the time to serve the Lord. You say, well, then let me ask you, is it then time for you to dwell in your sealed houses and the house of the Lord lieth in waste? And then comes that thundering question, consider your ways. Verse 5, consider your ways. Think, ponder, reflect. And then verse 6 comes, the rebuke. He says, you have sown much. Yes, you work hard, no doubt about that. You were busy establishing your sealed houses, and so you went out into the fields, you sow the seeds, you try to hope for a good harvest, but in actual fact, you bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. You are never satisfied. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Now, this is the Lord's way of telling them how unfulfilled such a life is. A life of procrastination. A life where we are not concerned about spiritual things and the things of God. He says, you have such a focus on physical things, that physical things will never fulfill you. You will never have enough. You sow and you sow the seeds and you hope and hope for a bumper harvest, a bumper crop, and you keep on focusing on earning lots of money. That will never fulfill you. You keep on focusing on trying to fulfill your fleshly appetites, eating and drinking. They will never fill you. You will never be fulfilled. You keep on thinking about the clothes that you wear. You keep on thinking and having a concern for your physical body, or even the clothes on your back will not be able to keep you warm. You keep on thinking of earning more money, and that money that you earn, it is like you are putting it in a bag with holes. It all leaks out, and there is nothing that will really, truly satisfy you. That is what the Lord is trying to say here. That all those times that you spend focusing on your sealed houses, all those times that you spend focusing on your job with your hearts and your minds fixed and fixated upon the cares of this world, upon pursuing material things, upon seeking after the fun and the entertainment of this world, he says it is like earning wages and to put it into a bag of holes. At the end of the day, you look back at your life and you ask, where has all my time gone to? What time is it? And you realize that I've wasted all my time. I have lived my life in vain. and I have done nothing for the Lord. What a tragic thing it is. And that was really the assessment of their past 16 years. The Lord asked them to consider your ways. You look at the life that you have been living. What have you done for the Lord? And for them, it was nothing. They were not fulfilled. They were not filled. They had no harvest to show forth. And later on, we'll realize that the Lord had actually deliberately sent famine upon them, drought, such that their crops will continue to fail as a warning, as a chastisement for them to consider their ways, to wake up and to return unto the Lord. And could this be a time where all of us are also receiving a wake-up call to ask ourselves this question, what time is it? To reorder our priorities. What am I focusing upon? What am I spending all my efforts on? What is it that is constantly on my heart and my mind every day? Am I overwhelmed with the cares of this world? Am I so fixated and concerned about physical things to the point where I forget about God, I ignore God, and I push God into a corner and I limit Him? And all I care about is these physical things. And yes, there is a cause at this point of time to be worried, to be concerned. We are not downplaying the magnitude and the severity of what is going on in this present time. It is serious. And we take every necessary precaution to be careful about our health. And we know that many people's livelihoods are actually being threatened right at this very moment. They have already lost their jobs, or maybe they are in risk of losing their jobs. Many of the big companies are laying off workers, or at least placing them on a month or more of no paid leave. And there is a fear, there is a concern. But does this mean then that we can stop having faith, and then, like the people of Judah and Jerusalem, we say, well, it is now not the time to serve the Lord. Let us now focus on our sealed houses. Let us now make sure that our families are safe, that we have enough to provide for them. Only then, after that, then we can come back and think about our spiritual lives. No, it should be the very opposite. Knowing the time and seeing how dire the situation is, then we realize how desperate we are, and we must come before the Lord on bended knees, crying unto Him and pleading to Him for mercy and grace to help us in this present time. That only God alone, only He can deliver. That we must have the confidence to know that He will provide. That He will be able to help us. Yes, we sometimes have this feeling of anxiety and desperation well up within us. And we don't know what the future may hold. We don't know how things will pan out. We don't even know what new regulations may come into place tonight or tomorrow morning, and how that will affect our lives. We don't know. But what we do know, and the certainty that we can have, is that God Almighty, He is still on the throne, and we can trust in Him. And therefore, our answer to the question, what time it is, must never be that now is not the time to serve the Lord. Now is not the right time. And it must never be that now is not the time to serve the Lord. That now is the time for me to focus on my family and my work. And now is time for me to focus on ensuring that we have all the physical things that we need to survive. No, our answer must be that now is the time to cry unto the Lord. Now more than ever is a time for me to exercise faith. And how can we have faith? But by reading the Word of God, by praying, by walking in close communion with Him. And then I can have the faith and the strength to face the challenges and the adversities that face us in this present time. That has to be our response. That now is the time for me to draw near to the Lord. Now is the time for me to seek Him and to pray ever more so, more earnestly. Because we know that the Lord is in control. And so what will we do with our time? What will we do with our life? Will we continue to put God aside and say, now is not the time and I must focus on myself, on these physical things? Or will we truly be able to say that now is the time to seek the Lord? I'd like to close by reading a passage from Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, verse 11 to verse 14. And this is the exhortation that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. It is now high time to wake out of our sleep, of our spiritual apathy, of our spiritual slumbering. Wake up, the Lord says, consider your ways and put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he alone is able to save. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this time that we have to gather before thy word to hear the exhortation that comes to us from the book of Haggai, calling upon us to consider our ways and to ask, what time is it? And to be able to say that it is indeed now high time for us to seek the Lord, and that we will not live in vain, we will not waste our lives, but we will seek thee, walk close to thee, draw strength from thee, and to have faith. And to know that, Lord, you are in control and nothing happens by chance. And we pray that thou will help us and be merciful to us during this present time. And pray that thou guide us as a church, that we will also understand the times and know how best to proceed and what things to do. That we can help all of our members in our spiritual lives, that we will be drawn close to thee in this time. And we pray and ask all this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.